and I could very clearly feel like someone had sat down on the bed next to me.
My one sister, Teresa, come literally floating down the stairs. She never touched those stairs coming down.
One night we went downstairs, we heard a bang like something had fallen. Several doors in the kitchen cabinets were open, like wide open.
But there's very distinct audio on one of the videos that says, open the door. It's a very nasty, demonic sounding voice.
So that is my ghost story.
Hi, and welcome to Haunted AF. This is the podcast of real ghost stories told by real people. We are your hosts. I'm Julie Fisk.
And I'm Rebecca Black.
And coming up, we have got an update from the owner of our haunted Elsa doll. Ooh. We also have two murder mystery ghost stories, which might be my new favorites. Yeah.
Love it. And don't forget, you can actually hit up hauntedaf.com for more great ghost stories. Of course, you can see all of our new cute merch. And remember, you can actually talk to us directly there. You will get a real person via the messenger.
It'll be one of us too. It's not like one of our assistants. I just got a message.
Assistant.
Yeah. I just got a message there this morning from someone who's like, how do I send a story? I'm like, you just did, baby. Here it is.
Yeah, right here.
I wanted to send out a quick apology though for our merch, because our merch is running late, and I got a complaint about it this week, and I looked into it and realized that some orders from back into mid-April have not been sent yet. And it's because Printful is just they're running behind because of the virus. So it looks like things are starting to pick up right now. I did notice some t-shirts just went out this morning. So if you are waiting for your goods, they are still on the way. Please don't let that keep you from buying the merch though.
You know, while you're at it, you can also support Haunted AF in other ways. We have a Patreon page. It's just $5 a month, and that's a library of stories that you're going to get, exclusive content, and it's also a really cheap and easy way to keep us in business. We'll even give you a shout out on the next podcast. In fact, we have two stories from this podcast that actually went up on Patreon early.
I mean, we're posting new stuff every single week. And speaking of which, we have to say thanks to Ghost or Weird for this next story from the Tampa Bay Times about being quarantined in a haunted house. By the way, if you think that you've been quarantined in a haunted house, you have to let us know. hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com.
Please, yes.
So the article says Kurt Schleicher lives in one of the Tampa Bay area's most infamous murder houses. In 1933, Victor Licata slaughtered his parents and three siblings with an axe inside his Ybor City home. Today, a chill passes through the bathroom that was once the bedroom where two of the children were killed, Schleicher said. He hears knocking noises throughout the house, and his dog barks at the bedroom where the mother and another child were murdered. He says, quote, I've always thought the house is haunted. I think about it more now because I'm here all the time. There's no place to go. There's no place to hide. He's not alone in wondering if something otherworldly is happening at his house. So we're on the phone with Kurt Schleicher. First, give us a little background on this house that you live in.
Okay, so in 1933, this kid who was 17, his name is Victor Licata. He supposedly smoked weed and assaulted both parents, three siblings, and hunted the family dog down and chopped them in little pieces.
Oh my
God! Now, if you know anything about Lizzie Borden, she whacked her mother a couple times, but this kid did the whole family and the dog,
and
nobody knows who this kid is. But there's a lot of different theories of why he did it, how he did it, and maybe he didn't do it. So actually, I just got contacted by the film producer in LA who wants to do a movie and have Kevin Smith direct it.
Ooh, oh my God!
Very cool.
Yeah.
Real quick, I have to ask, was he caught?
Oh yeah. He went to jail. He said that he thought he had a rubber mallet or something, and he was dreaming. If you look up Victor Licata, you can see all the articles that were written about him and the different theories.
And it's fascinating because I've never heard of Victor Licata, and I'm a big true crime fan. So
yeah,
I was,
same.
This is one for the annals right there.
And there's so much Google information. There's crime scene photos.
They have a drawing of my floor plan and have X's where the bodies were found.
Oh,
that's
my
how
God.
Crazy it is.
No,
and yes,
you bought
did.
The house. Mm-hmm. You know all of this down in it. Okay. So is that the main reason why you bought the house?
No, just because it was next to my property.
So now you have to tell us what's going on in the house robbery house.
As I was doing the article that you read, I was talking about how my dog in the bedroom where the mother and the daughter was killed would sit up on the bed and stare at the wall just stare at it. You know, there's no reason for a dog to stay on the bed staring at a wall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So as literally I'm saying that, my dog was laying next to me. He did these three little growls like, then he got up on the back of the couch and got into almost a fighting mode where he was ready to like pounce on something. Literally as I was talking to the guy giving the article, it was the craziest thing. We had one of these ghost hunters come in and they had one of those heat devices.
Yeah.
And they swept the room. I go, look, here's the room. There's nothing there. And then they had one of those radio frequency things.
Oh yeah. Spirit box.
Yeah. So the guy started asking these questions and he scanned the room again. Then you can see this shape in the corner where the father was killed. And all of a sudden, certain words started coming up on that thing. And one of them said my name. It was the weird thing.
So do you think that Victor actually murdered his family? Or do you think maybe it was a crime
thing?
One of
the theories is, 1933, the size of this house was kind of above a pay grade for his father, who was a barber.
Right.
And so they said that maybe he was a bootlegger. So as I was rehabbing one of the back rooms, I pulled the wallboard off. I could see charred wood up in the ceiling and on the top of the wall. So I go up in the attic, I pull back insulation. What do I find? Whiskey bottles with corks still in them.
What?
How freaking cool is that?
Right.
Were you able to find out how old they were?
No, I still have them though, but there's some sludge, you know.
Don't drink it. Don't drink it.
for sure. But then I started looking around. You could see like pulleys and stuff where they were definitely lowering and bringing stuff in.
Okay, so now I'm definitely thinking the murderer is a mob hit.
Well,
and then they had to cover everything up with the kid.
Right.
Right. So back then when they wanted to make a statement, they'd kill everybody in the family and then they'd leave one person alive that they'd live through the disrespect of what the family member did.
Right.
But he did say that he had these weird dreams, so not really sure, but one of the theories is that it could have been a mob hit, for sure.
Right. Well, and maybe he was just saying that to save his own life.
True.
Yeah.
Well, and the article also mentioned something that happens in the bathroom.
So when I was rehabbing the bathroom, there was a windowsill, and it used to be a bedroom where the two kids were. And I'm looking at the windowsill, and I told my carpenter, I go, man, replace that windowsill because it's got all these chopped up marks on it.
Oh, my
God. Didn't dawn on me until after I had him replaced because it was all concentrated in one area. And literally, it had to have been the swing of an axe where he was missing and he was hitting the windowsill.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And these were V cuts. You know, somebody had some force.
Yeah.
It was just very uncanny.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
I totally see it. Right. I see The Shining. I see Jack Torrance, knocking down the door. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Well, Kurt, you have to keep in touch. You have to let us know if anything else happens. And thank you so much for this story.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely fascinating. And I'm going straight to Google for the crime scene photos.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
You took us on a wild-ass ride today.
Yes.
Thank you for calling.
All right. So this next ghost story came from Peggy Sue. She's a brand new listener.
Hi, Julie and Rebecca. This is Peggy Sue. I want to share my very first voice memo with you guys about a piano that my family and I acquired. This piano was from a haunted house, apparently. And when we went to pick up the piano, I wasn't aware that the house was haunted. So it's an old house, and the piano's probably 100 years old. So we were having a cup of coffee, getting ready to move this piano, and there was a bathroom like right off where the piano was located, and we were about to move the piano. I put the coffee mug down on like at the very top pot of the toilet, top of the toilet, right in the center. I'm very careful. Didn't want to spill anything in this house I'd never been to with these people that were so generous to give us this piano. And when we moved to the piano and I came back to get my coffee, the cup had spilled and broken all over the bathroom floor. So I was mortified and said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Let me clean this up. And I said, I don't know how that could have happened. I was very careful. I put, you know, the coffee mug down in the center. And the owner of the house said, oh, don't worry. It was just the ghost. The ghost does that all the time. And things are forever being tossed off of counters and broken all over the house all the time. And I was a little freaked out. And I was like, okay. And so the guys went to finish putting the piano in the car, and I was left in this bathroom by myself cleaning up this coffee mug and the coffee all over the floor and silently talking to myself and talking to the ghost like, okay, please don't hurt me. I'm a very nice person and I didn't mean any harm and we'll take really good care of the piano. Please, please, please. And got everything cleaned up. Brought the piano home, and nothing's ever happened with the piano. The piano wasn't haunted in any way. Thank goodness. So that's my ghost story, my very first voice memo. Take care, guys. I love listening to you, and keep up the good work. Thanks, bye.
What a jerk ghost.
I know, right? And she is so cute and so apologetic. Like, I'm so sorry. Please don't come with me.
I know. Please don't be mad at me. My favorite part of that audio is the freaking lawnmowers in the background. They are
is that what that was?
Yes, they are nonstop and ever present.
That's the one thing of this quarantine. It's like every yard is looking immaculate right now.
So something really cool happened this past week. I'm reading this book called I Will Give You the Sun by an author named Jandy Nelson. It's a young adult novel. Don't give me any flack about that.
I'm not. Hey, I'm all for the young adult novels.
We'll read this one. I Will Give You the Sun is fantastic. And in the book, there's a deceased grandma who keeps showing up as a ghost. And the grandma had this crazy Bible of advice. And one of the things was grandma says some visitors from beyond return with their feet on backward.
What?
Right. So I'm reading this book right after we had the ghost story from Allendale Farms about the little boy with the backwards feet. So I just for kicks, I tweeted Jandy Nelson to ask her about it. Now, I mean, she's pretty popular. In fact, they're adapting one of her movies called The Sky is Everywhere for A24 right now. So
awesome.
She's kind of blowing up. But I sent her a message and just said, hey, where did you get this concept of the backwards feet? And she wrote back. She says, I adore the idea. I don't know where I got it. Possibly in the Encyclopedia of Superstitions, Folklore, and Occult Sciences published in 1903, which I referred to sometimes when writing Graham's Bible, but really can't remember. So I started Googling this Encyclopedia of Superstitions from freaking 1903, and I'm not having any luck finding it. I mean, don't you want to read that?
I do. What exactly does it mean with the backwards feet? Like, did she give any more insight into that?
No, she didn't. And it just says sometimes visitors from beyond return with their feet on backwards. So if you know anything about this, what is it called again?
Encyclopedia of Superstition.
Thank you. If you know anything about this encyclopedia, please let us know. hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com because we need more details.
Hey, Julie, guess what we've got this week?
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I had to play your version. We actually had a request for it this week, believe it or not.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Wow, I'm really surprised by that. It gets me every time, though.
I know. Well, it's funny. We had a request for that one, and then we had a complaint about it as well. So I'm like, it's definitely time. It's time to revisit that one. And we haven't been doing Dead Pet of the Week just because we aren't getting any Dead Pet of the Week ghost stories. So if you've got them, definitely send them. All right, what have you got?
Thanks to Tiffany, who sent us one. She says, when I was 6 years old, my grandma's calico kitten was hit by a car and died. Oh, she gave us this pet carrier years later and it stayed in my bedroom. One night I looked inside the pet carrier and saw this orb and these two black eyeballs.
Aww.
Then two black circles came floating from the pet carrier towards me. I had goosebumps. After that, the small cage door to the carrier would also move slowly open when I tried to close it. Oh,
that's very sweet. But that's also when I would move the carrier straight out to the garage.
Would you really? It's a little kitty cat.
No, you're living in the garage now.
You can't be scared of a ghost cat.
No, I'm actually not. I'm like wishing JB would show up.
See, exactly.
I'm looking for him everywhere. All right. So this email comes from Catherine. She says, hello, I just found your podcast yesterday and I'm hooked. Heard you were looking for stories and I thought of one that's ongoing at my job. I work in a hospital operating room in Connecticut. Since COVID-19, we have reduced our non-elective surgeries and basically only do emergency cases. I think the lack of staff and patients in the building has either made us more aware of the activity or caused a surge, but I'm not sure which. They recently updated an old part of the hospital that has been around since 1904. This corner was at one point the emergency room, but it's now used for rooms and a staff lounge. Anyways, room 10 there gives me a weird feeling. Someone died before surgery in there not long ago, and the tourniquet now turns on by itself. I don't even know what a tourniquet is, but that does sound creepy.
Well, I thought a tourniquet was something that you use to stop the bleeding.
They must have like an automatic one or something.
But, yeah.
So she says a new coworker started back in February and she didn't know the history of the room, but she told me she didn't like to be in there alone either. About a month later, I had to get room 10 ready for a case the next day. My coworker was going to help me, but she had to use the restroom first. I went into the room and was about to switch the light on, but I heard a male voice whispering. It sounded like he was having a conversation or telling someone a secret. I couldn't make out what he was saying, but it sounded so real, I thought a male nurse was in there gossiping to someone. I switched on the lights and looked around the corner ready to say, what are you guys gossiping about? But no one was there. It shocked me, so I ran out of there looking for my coworker. I had no luck, so I called her phone, and she answered very upset. She had apparently also gone into the room and said, I know this is crazy, but when I went in there, I heard a woman screaming. Yeah. Then she admitted to me that she had heard the screams before but had never told anyone. We started telling our stories to the people we work with, and many had heard or seen strange things as well. The maintenance guy said he's seen the anesthesia machine and computers turn on and off by themselves. He also once saw the digital clock on the wall go back in time 2 minutes, blink a few times, and they go back to the current time. About a week after that, another shift crew was sitting in the lounge. They saw a man dressed like he worked there use his badge to enter through a nearby exit door. Well, they were in shock as he walked right past them because nobody has used that door as an entrance for ages. So they reported it, but security said that there were no hits on any badges at that door. He also didn't turn up on any security footage, even though that man walked by at least 3 cameras in the lounge and offices. If anything additional happens, I will let you guys know. Take care and keep up the good work, Catherine.
Oh my gosh. Okay, first things first, no patients can be in that room. It's not safe. Like, you got a ghost turning machines on and off that provide like life support and stuff? Hell no.
Hopefully it's not a mean ghost. I mean, maybe they're just flipping switches because he's bored.
Or trying to save a life of another ghost? I don't know.
Well, actually, wait, that's a good point. If the person came walking through and they were dressed like they worked there, maybe it's the ghost of a doctor?
Possibly.
All right. Well, Catherine, just keep us posted. This next ghost story comes from Rachel.
Hi, Rebecca and Julie. This is Rachel sending you a voice memo all the way from Michigan. I wanted to tell you about my grandpa who passed away in 2009. A little bit of backstory. I was living in Florida at the time with a relative, and my grandpa lived in Ohio, and he was out with an old hunting buddy, lifelong friends, and as the story is told, he died from a single gunshot wound, and it was buckshot to be exact. My grandmother that he was married to was very sick on dialysis and needed a lot of care. According to the old hunting buddy, the story that we got was that they both went to sleep for the night, and the next thing you know, there was a single gunshot, and he found my grandpa, and he was dead. So some people say it's suicide, and some people say that he asked him to put him out of his misery. He didn't want to take care of my grandma anymore, and he asked his oldest friend to help him. As far as the story goes of me seeing his ghost, like I said, I lived in Florida, and we lived in a condo, so it was 3 floors. I had gotten home, and I was home by myself. I went up the stairs, and there's a landing, and then you can turn left to go into one room and turn right to go into my room. But there's not a lot of visibility around the corners. And I had glanced into the room on the left, just passing by, sort of, and I saw a floating figure of my grandpa. And he's a very classic man, very tall, dark hair, glasses. He always wore the same clothes every single day. He wore a white polo shirt with collar. He wore jeans, glasses, hair slicked back, very old-fashioned. And I saw him floating there, and he was not looking at me, but he was just kind of floating, and I could tell because it was like he was bent at the knee, and his skin looked like charred leather, like he was on fire, like he had been put out, and it was kind of smoking a little bit, and I was completely and utterly terrified. I ran into my room, I barricaded the door, and then I went into my closet and I barricaded that, and I called my mom, and I said, "Mom, this is going to sound crazy, but I just saw Grandpa, like a ghost or an apparition. And at this point, I'm shaking and crying. I'm home alone. I did not go out of my room until somebody got home. I don't remember how long it was in between the first time and the second time, but I saw him again, just in the same position. It was the exact same. I had come home, come up the stairs, glanced in there, and I saw him again. And I did the very same thing. Went into my room, called my mom in the closet, and she is a very spiritual type as far as, you know, tarot cards, things like that. And she told me that if I told him to go away, the spirit or entity or what have you, that it would. Not face to face, obviously, that's terrifying, but I could do that and it would go away. And I did. I did right then and there. I said, "Grandpa, I love you, but you're scaring me. I want you to go away." And I never saw him again. So it was very emotional, but thank you for letting me tell my story. I listened yesterday for the first time and it scared the bejesus out of me, and I loved it. So keep doing what you guys are doing, and thank you.
Okay, so I've written Rachel back because I know we've all got a million questions.
Yes.
Don't you kind of feel like maybe he was trying to say something to her?
Yes, because what is the significance of him burning? You know what I'm saying? And like that his skin was charred. That leads me to believe that maybe with foul play involved.
And I also think it's interesting that he came to her down in Florida in this house that he had never been to. It's like he was specifically coming to her. And
Maybe because she wasn't living near them or something. So she's kind of like an outside opinion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I asked her, like, what did your mom think? What was the overall consensus about this friend and your grandpa's death? So we'll let you guys know whatever Rachel has to say. Maybe we can try to get her on the phone about this. She sent me a picture of her grandpa and he's so handsome.
Oh, I really hate that for her, that he came back to her in such a way that would scare her.
I know. And my first thought is like, oh, go to him and ask. But at the same time, you're terrified. And being in that moment, you would be like, please stop. Don't do this. You're scaring me. So bless her heart.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
Okay. So I think we have Emily on the phone.
So we've been revisiting some of our old favorite stories. And of course, one of our favorites, Julie and I, we love the haunted Elsa doll out of Houston. Yeah, we reached out to Emily, owner of said haunted Elsa doll, and we wanted to know if there's any update on the situation. Have you heard from the guy you sent off Elsa to?
I haven't heard anything from him personally. And I think, you know, things have been super weird with the coronavirus stuff.
Yeah.
So this has been the weirdest year of my life by far, especially with the Elsa doll thing, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't really reached out to him. I think he has posted like a couple updates on his social media because he still has her attached to his truck. And I think he's been driving it around,
which
I thought he wasn't going to do. But I saw one of his car, like, at a gas station or something. I was like, oh, my God. So he seems to be a proud owner.
He seems to be doing okay, too, because I follow him on Twitter. It's Chris Hogan on Twitter, and he's really funny. He's fun to follow. But he hasn't been talking about her. So, and he does seem to be actively alive at the moment.
Yes.
So I think he's doing okay. But I've been wondering, like, how are things in your house?
Well, things in my house are okay. Like, we've had a couple weird things, and I don't know if any of it means anything, but nothing that really scares me. But recently, actually, my husband said he thought he saw a little boy in our living room. He's like, I don't want to freak you out, but it was like 11 o'clock at night.
So, and what happened? We need some details on that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. He and I are both run streakers, which means we run every single day. We've been doing it for years.
Okay.
And sometimes, like, if we can't get outside because of the kids or because of the weather, we run laps around the living room and the kitchen.
Oh my gosh, that's
for like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. And that's what he happened to be doing at the time. And,
at
and
11
so it was kind
night?
Of fleeting. I know, it's really weird. And I wasn't in the room. I was like in the bedroom or something. But he like came in the bedroom afterwards. Like, I turn around the corner and I saw a little boy. And then when I rounded around the corner again and came back, he was gone.
Oh my God. It's like The Shining.
I know.
Minus the big wheel.
Right?
Yeah, it's very strange. And of course, he's running. And I know that, like, that's just weird, super weird to normal people. But.
Yes, that it is. And I feel like I need video of you guys running around your house like that. But you are seriously committed to your run. If you run through a room and there's a ghost child standing there, but you just keep
going.
But if anything, I bet that would up his time, right? Like, he probably had to
wanted to get done faster.
Yeah, I was like, the fastest mile he's ever done.
I would have run, like, to another part of the house if it were me. I'm going to go run in the bathroom now.
Oh, my God.
How many miles?
The most I've done personally was 5 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is years ago, like, when I was a single mom and I was just losing my mind because the kids... One of them was sick and I couldn't even put them in the stroller. So I just ran for like an hour in circles in my house.
I've done that actually, like right after you have your baby and you have all the gross, you're just like, ah. And I remember running laps in my house, but I don't think I ever got more than like maybe half a mile.
It was pretty tedious.
Circles in my house.
This particular streak, you have to do a mile.
Okay.
And there's like a website that has a list of people who've been doing this. And the most is like over 50 years, I'm thinking.
Oh my God.
For me, 7 years.
Oh my God.
But there are tons of people ahead of me. I'm like 480th on the list. And a lot of people run in their houses. This is very common. People all over the world just running circles around their living room.
Is there a website for this?
Yes. It's runeveryday.com.
So, okay, back to
but
the
anyway,
ghost.
back to
the ghost.
So that's all I heard of that. And then something weird happened. Like last week, my husband and I were talking in our bedroom and We have a dresser that I bought at an antique store, I don't know, a few years ago maybe. And it has drawers in the middle and then little doors that open on the side, like on a hinge. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking to each other and one of the doors slammed. Like it was open and it slammed shut.
Mm.
And neither of us was like near it.
So did you guys have any experiences pre-Elsa?
Well, I did. My son had an imaginary friend that he said came in through the computer.
Oh.
And just when I was a single mom. So I was just tired and I would let him go to sleep with a laptop in front of him watching a movie so I could have a break.
Right.
And I would go to sleep and he would tell me, oh, this Luca, I called him Luca, came in through the computer. And I thought that was weird. Luca, such a random name. I don't know where he got it from. And he would talk about him all the time for months up until we moved.
Mm-hmm.
And the absolute weirdest thing that happened, and I posted about this on my Facebook and it just popped up in my memories like last week, which freaked me out again. But I had a second cell phone that I used just for work and I had recently changed the passcode to it. And I woke up the next morning and there were two pictures on it of the back of my son's head sleeping.
Oh my God.
And my daughter was two. So I know she didn't do it, you know, and she was actually sleeping in bed with me. So there's no way. And it was the back of my son's head and he was sleeping and the computer was in front of him. And I woke up and I was like, how did that get there? It just creeped me out so much because I never figured that out.
You literally just took my breath away with that. That's like freaking me out so much.
Like we've heard so many crazy stories and stuff that it's hard to like freak me out now. And I'm not joking, chill bumps from head to toe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here. So wait, you never figured that out. Was that in your new house or in the old house?
That was actually an apartment that I lived in.
Is it possible that whatever you've got going on now still comes from that, from Luca?
I mean, I guess, but I asked my son about Luca and I've asked him a couple times and he says, I don't want to talk about it. That's what he tells me. It's the weirdest thing. It's not like he doesn't remember. He says, I don't want to talk about it.
And how old is he now?
And he is now 9.
Okay.
So this is when he was about 4. Yeah.
Oh man, it's been a long time and he still doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. No, he's just like, I don't want to talk about it. And we had Elsa then. So, I mean, I think about that too. I never noticed anything with her then, but
I mean, they can move and, you know, take on different, I would think, objects if they're already in your house.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and it's very possible that whatever Luca was came with us and we moved, I guess. I have no idea. And I don't know if whatever we have here is something separate or even related to Elsa.
Do you ever sage?
I have never done it. It's funny because I worked at a restaurant before I moved to Houston and one of the waitresses gave me some sage. It was like, sage your house before you move in. I was like, okay, whatever. And I like threw it away. It's ridiculous. I have so much stuff that I'm dealing with. I'm like, the last thing I'm going to do is like walk through this new house and try to figure out how to stage it. And I thought, even if I did it, I'd probably do it wrong.
No, so, and it is a little woo-woo. I get that.
But now I'm like, maybe I should have done that.
Like, it's real easy. You just light it. You make sure it's still smoking. And then you want to go throughout your house from left to right. And you want to, basically you're sealing off all of the entrances. So every window opening go around, every door go around, like I said, left to right. And apparently that's the trick.
And it's like, it sounds hippy dippy, but you can get this stuff on Amazon.
Okay. Super cheap. It's like $1.
Yeah. I think maybe even at Walmart, you can pick it up.
You just hold it in your hand and light it on fire, or you put it in a container of some kind, or
you just hold it. It's like, it's like incense. So it doesn't burn crazy and you just want, but it's very smoky. So when you walk through, you can just kind of waft the smoke into all the corners and just make sure you cover everything in the house. There's probably some you can mumble as you're walking around.
You can just tell it politely to like get out. You don't have to be mean. You can just say, get out of our house. Don't come back. You are not welcome here while you're doing it. If you want to, that's not necessarily you have to, but a lot of people take comfort in that.
It would be worth a shot because Luca's freaking me out.
Luca's really creepy, especially with the two pictures of the back of your kid's head in the bed. That's really, really scary.
It's really, really creepy.
Any chance you still have those photos?
You know, I need to dig through. And I was a little weirded out because on my Facebook memory, I had posted it because I said, these are the pictures that I found on my phone.
Yeah.
And when it popped up as a memory years later, the pictures aren't there.
Oh my goodness.
So
I don't know
if it's like a Facebook thing or if they were removed.
Oh my God.
So I have to look and dig through old photos.
I'm almost scared.
If I find them, I'll send them to you.
I almost don't want you to.
I'm like, I have to see those photos.
Yeah, yeah, definitely look for those for us and do some saging. Be safe. Maybe Elsa wasn't the problem after all.
Yeah, maybe she was a temporary vessel.
That's kind of what it sounds now.
Oh my God, and I'm thinking the little boy standing in the kitchen. Is that Luca?
Oh my God, so many connections.
So creepy. I'm trying to figure out how my four-year-old son even came up with the name Luca. There were no Lucas in his school. There were no Lucas on the shows he was watching.
That is like, not a name that little kids just pull out of a hat.
What was that song? My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. Is that Suzanne Vega? Who did that one about
poor Luca? There's no song.
Do you remember that? My name is Luca. Oh my gosh.
I've never heard that. Maybe he heard it.
Yeah. Oh my God. We're going to have to find that now.
Okay. Well, Emily, you have to keep in touch. You have to keep us posted. First of all, you got to sage the f*** out of your house.
Yeah, I will. Now.
But yes, dig around, see if you can find those photos and keep us posted. And if your son is ever interested in going ahead and telling the Luca story, we want to hear that too.
Yeah, we would love to.
Yeah. I mean, he won't even talk to me about it now. Yeah. So.
Well, Emily, keep in touch. Let us know if you need any help finding any sage, and just we'll check back with you in a couple of months because I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like you have a lot of activity going on.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca, guess what I found?
What?
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor.
Do you really not know this song?
I really don't.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, I think you've seen me before.
Oh my gosh, this is Suzanne Vega. My name is Luca.
It sounds maybe kind of familiar, like I've heard it in the background of like a TV show or something. Sorry, it doesn't ring a bell.
I can't believe you and Emily both are like, what are you talking about?
Sorry.
Luca. Okay.
How long did it take you to find it?
Not long. It's on YouTube.
Okay, good.
It's not.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I didn't have to like dig it up. I swear. It was popular somewhere, I promise you.
All right. Don't forget to subscribe to hauntedaf.com and to our YouTube page. And please check out the Haunted AF online store.
And the merch is going out. I promise. It's a little slow, but it's definitely going
but
out.
It is happening.
Yes. And don't forget to check out the Haunted AF Patreon page. That's another way for you to support the podcast. But the best thing you can do is just send us those ghost stories. Please keep them coming to hauntedafpodcast@gmail.com. And we will share them all on the next Haunted AF. All right, guys, don't forget to subscribe to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever your platform is that you love listening to. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Reddit, or you can chat with us directly on our brand new website, hauntedaf.com. Got to say thanks to Andrew Mamaliga for our theme song and to On Air Media for titles and technical support. And of course, we got to thank you, the listeners. Thanks for listening. By the way, Julie, if I die first, I'm coming back to haunt you. Aw, come back to haunt you too, Rebecca. Aw.